the show.
What big slot receiver might be soon hunting for a new NFL team? What kind of handcuff value does Leonte Carew hold in redraft leagues? And should you be executing the zero WR strategy this season? Plus, 2016 FFPC Pros versus Joe's veteran James Harper discusses his success in the Football Guys Players Championship and his takeaways on his 2016 draft so far. And KFFSC commish Farrell Elliott drops by to talk about whether Jimmy Graham makes a good eighth-round pick in FFPC drafts and how you can play in the 2016 KFFSC main event. We've got a great show for you. Dave Gerzak is here. I'm Eric Walkman. Stick around. Your high-stakes fantasy football hour starts now.
Broadcast live and heard around the world, you are now listening to the most entertaining hour of radio on the planet. It's the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour presented by MyFFPC.com with your hosts Eric Balkman and Dave Gerzak. The High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour is your home for football analysis from the best fantasy players in the world. And now, because no one else was available, here are Eric Balkman and Dave Gerzak. Until I die, ask me why I'm a boss player getting high. And when I'm rolling by, can't see me.
The stairs of a million pairs of eyes. And you'll never realize. Thanks a lot, Rob. Greetings and salutations, all you Balkaholics and Gerzakanatics. Welcome to the latest episode of the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour presented by MyFFPC.com. I'm your slightly above average host, Eric Balkman, and my co-host is the Dizzle, the patron saint of fantasy football, Dave Gerzak. Coming up on tonight's show, we'll chat about what we're going to be providing for you in July, the Pros versus Joes. We have a competitor in that contest coming up later on with the show. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about a highly drafted pick from last year being usurped by a rookie this year. I'm not a heralded rookie as well. And we'll also be talking about the zero WR strategy and how it is maybe sweeping the drafting nation, as it were, all coming up on tonight's show.
Not sweeping the drafting nation,
Paul. Well, I'm just telling you, there's a lot of articles out there about it. There's a lot of people talking about it right now. There's some people executing it in FFPC. I shouldn't say executing it. They're doing it. So I don't know how successful it's going to be.
You seem a little off tonight. You're a little slippery on the.
It's been a long day, man. I had on the way to the studios tonight. I actually had to stop for coffee just because I was just dragging. I got home from work today and I was just exhausted, and I had to chase my kids around. And it was a crazy day. So if I'm off, I apologize. I also should tell everybody tonight. Our audio engineer Bryce was doing some overtime trying to get her audio set up right now, and the fact that nobody is
listening,
complaining in the chat room. No audio. I can't hear anything. It means Bryce did his job. So big ups to him for that so far. I reserve the right to take that away if our audio goes jankety, as he called it tonight.
I am wearing two sets of headphones right now.
I don't think you have to. I really think you only have to wear one.
But I can hear you better through the good headphones.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, maybe I'll have to add that one on there then.
Yeah.
Okay. So shout out to the chat room right now. Feel free to post any questions you guys have in there. If you want to connect with us on Twitter, we are at HSFFR, at Eric Balkman, and at David Gerzak. I should also mention, too, the KFFSC Commissioner, Farrell Elliott, is going to be joining us for rolling out the email barrel with Farrell tonight. He's going to come on later on in the program. You can follow him on Twitter and connect with the Kentucky Fantasy Football State Championship at KFFSC on Twitter. Facebook.com, the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour, 347-426-3682, that's 347-GAME-OVA, highstakesfantasyfootball@gmail.com. is the email address. If you want to connect with us tonight, definitely do so now. Our producer and mutual friend Rob and our audio engineer Bryce still working hard tonight, and they'll get those questions to us later on in the show. Top of the show tonight, the FFPC email that went out today, Dave, big news. For the first time ever, there's a new scoring format available for players at the FFPC right now.
That's pretty cool. We've got the Superflex.
Yeah, the Superflex. Tell the listeners a little bit about just tell them what it is right now.
Well, it's not a big change, but it is a big change. You can still double flex, and you can flex the quarterback.
We don't have to get into all the stipulations of it. It's not purely just that. There are some different stipulations that you and Alex put in there to make quarterbacks not omnipotently valued.
The quarterback changing is reduced. Or the quarterback scoring is reduced slightly. I think it's -2 for interceptions and .25.
Yeah, .25 for pass. Yeah.
Instead of instead of one for every
team. And you can't flex out two quarterbacks.
Correct. You only flex one.
Right. So you can start two quarterbacks a week, not three. I know that you were all couldn't wait to do that. It's not going to happen. Don't even try.
Alex and I had some disagreements about the format, and we worked it out, sort of.
These Superflex leagues are available as starting at $35, $77, and $250. Not starting at, those are the three levels they're available at. This is not going to affect any other FFPC contest, be it the main event, Football Guys Players Championship, Super Bracket, Terminator, anything like that. Those all stay the same. These is a completely separate format. We're going to try out for this year. If it gets popular, we'll bring it back next year, maybe tweak it a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of sites out there talking about Superflex. I played in some Superflex leagues myself, and I like them. Actually, they're a lot of fun.
Yeah, actually, the Scott Fish Bowl, we talked about this last week on the show. Matt Schauf was my co-owner.
You guys have a team combined.
Yes, we have a
team home friend.
Yep, exactly. So we talked a little strategy on the show that I don't know if you've logged into your league yet, but we got the number one pick in ours. So we actually already talked some strategy on the show, and that you could start two quarterbacks. We're talking about going Antonio Brown at the 101 and then maybe quarterback on the turn. I don't think we're going to do that because I researched it a little bit. I don't think we're going to do that, but it's something we could do. But anyway, that's a super flex league, and no kickers and no defenses in that. You're in that, obviously, in a different league. But.
Yeah, is that a slow draft or a live draft?
Slow.
Thank God.
Yeah. Yeah. Imagine doing a live draft like that in early July.
The 480 teams are in that thing?
480. There's still some spots available.
What's the point of it again?
Well, it's just a way for it's sort of like a massive pros versus Joes type thing. I mean, our pros versus Joes, we have 72 people. And we're actually playing for main events, or they're playing for main events even there. This was all for charity. There are some prizes. I haven't checked them out yet.
You know, it's funny. So I have to mention Wasp Guy and SF Capper talking in the chat room.
Right.
They're talking about the Stanima format that I played in.
And, of course, run by a friend of the show and Stan former Methios. Guest, Stan Methios.
Yeah, and I don't think he's doing that any longer. And he said that the team Wasp would buy 100 teams if we did a cut line with the Super Flex.
Right. Yeah, well.
I mean, it was a 10-team, it was 10-team league. It was a lot of fun. I had a great time doing it. Those drafts would take like 45 minutes. These guys would draft in like 4 seconds, like boom, boom, boom. It's almost like a computer draft. Oh, I'm up again? All right.
That's how those formats work sometimes. We'll see how this Super Flex works. I should have checked this. We have them available in live and slow, or is it just slow?
There's one live 35 league that we created, and that's mainly a factor of laziness.
The early bird for the Football Guys Players Championship, I should mention, is coming up in 6 days, so make sure you take advantage of that so you get that $73 value with Football Guys to get that great content for the next 3 years with a 3-pack, or you can get it for 1 year with a single team with Football Guys, too. I would encourage you to do that.
Hey, can I give a little legislative update?
Yeah, let me say.
All right, go ahead.
Let me say this real quick. Other SATs and DEs also going on all this weekend. Check the FFPC blog, the FFPC website today. The listings for all the available leagues are up there, and some Dynasty startups that are going on starting next month as well. Legislative update.
New York bill passed.
Yes.
It didn't pass exactly how we wanted it to. It had season-long exemption, which got – well, I shouldn't say it passed. I mean, Cuomo still has to sign it, but it sounds like he's going to sign
it. I read that whether he signs it or not, it goes in – like, there's nothing he could do unless he wants to ask for a veto.
He wouldn't ask for it. He would just veto it.
Right? Yeah.
That's how most bills are. If he doesn't sign it, it goes in law. It's not passed. It has a 15% tax, and some of the compliance stuff can be a problem. So, it's not great, you know, and it's unfortunate that season-long got lumped in New York, and it really shouldn't have. But, at least unlike in states like, Missouri and Tennessee and Virginia and Indiana, we don't have to exit those states heading into 2017. I mean, those are the states we're looking at having to exit and then go back and fix in late 2016, early 2017. We already have plans to do so. So we feel like we can win those states back because those laws are just god-awful.
Same thing with New York, too. I mean, we want to get that better.
I don't know if New York's going to get changed, but, you know,
really?
I don't know. We'll see. Okay. But, I mean, those aren't – New York's – we're not attacking those other states.
We would much rather make everything eligible everywhere rather than make it better in it. Yeah, I get it.
And so now we're headed to Pennsylvania and California. Those are probably the next two and possibly the last two in 2016 that both are – you know, both very important states with a lot of fantasy players, so we need to make good changes there. If you live in Pennsylvania, live in California, contact your legislator, call, email, or try and get an in-person meeting, and that's it.
If you don't know who they are, contact us. We'll tell you who they are.
It's pretty easy, actually, to there's like an open state stuff. You know, just put in, you know, whatever state you live in.
Who'smylegislator.com.
Yeah, who's my legislator in blank state? Google is amazing. It's a search engine. It'll help you find this stuff right away.
Right, yeah. So going back to Cali is the SBFSTA coming up. Okay, so that is what's going on there. Let's actually get to some football analysis here, Dave. I'm going to do this right away. I'm not sure who this is, but I'm gonna go to the phone lines right now. We'll see who this is because they've been very patient. Caller, go ahead. You're on the air on the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour.
Yeah, this is James.
James Harper, okay. James, I thought this might be you. Let's bring you on right now.
Can you do anything? I'm going to give you a intro.
I'm going to give a flowery and accurate.
Anyone has to go to the bathroom or make a drink, you know.
While James,
please play this part.
While James has cashed in the Football Guys Players Championship before, he says he still considers himself a novice in the realm of high-stakes fantasy football. He has indeed played locally for 10-plus years and nationally for 7. He says it's a hobby for a very competitive person that provides year-round entertainment and heartache. He'll be looking for more of the former and less of the latter when he drafts in his Pros versus Joe's team next month. Also an FFPC Dynasty player. Please welcome to the show, James Harper. James, I'm sorry I kept you on hold for so long. Thank you for being patient, and thanks for doing the show.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, James, let's kick things right off, get to know you as a person a little bit. When you're not playing in the Pros versus Joe's, FFPC Dynasty, Football Guys Players Championship, main event, everything, whatever, what are you doing for a living?
Well, I have a master's degree in nursing, and I'm a nurse practitioner with a neurosurgeon for 18 years after working in the ICU for 6 years locally, but have a 70-acre farm, and that keeps me busy in my downtime. Two boys, 24 and 21, and a 26-year marriage with my beautiful wife, and love playing fantasy football.
That's awesome. That's fantastic. That's a family man and also a man who's saving lives, which we always appreciate on the show. You know, I save lives via the podcasting route. You actually do it in a much more literal sense. But I feel like we're kind of peers in the medical field.
You help people forget about their lives.
Yeah, I think that's it. Or I make people feel really good about their lives when they listen to this show and see what I do. So I think that, I totally get what
you guys are like on the same level.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's get into fantasy, Dave.
So, James, we're going to talk about the zero RB strategy because everyone likes to use zero blank strategy, talking about everything nowadays. It's never been more popular than it is right now. Does this mean that the value is now in drafting running backs early with so many people gobbling up wide receivers?
Well, I think, obviously, it depends on where you fall in the draft order. You know, my history with the Pros versus Joes clearly represented – running back heavy last year, and that certainly did not work out very well for me. But I think, unfortunately, in the times where the longevity of which these big contract players who receive millions of dollars is dependent on their health, which means running back by committee.
I just think it's the zero WR to me is compelling because, you know, Matt Waldman, Dave, has talked for years about his upside-down drafting. Of course, Sean Siegel from RotoViz really championed the zero RB strategy by winning the NFFC a primetime in when it, what year was that, 2009, 2010?
It was later than that.
Okay.
It was like 12 or 13.
12 or 13, okay. So, and it's all about zagging when everybody else is zigging. So, and I think the temptation is, okay, well, everybody's pounding receivers early. I'm just going to take running backs. The problem with that is we've seen running backs come on the waiver wire and be top 10 options at the end of the season all the time. Rarely happens with receivers. So it's not something that I certainly would advocate, Dave. I think you are just against gimmicky stuff in fantasy football general.
I think gimmicky names, I think.
Oh, you don't like the names. Okay.
You can do whatever you want.
Okay.
Just don't call it.
This is not a theory you would subscribe to as far as actually practicing.
Which one?
Zero WR.
Probably not.
Yeah, I don't think I'd be able to. It'd be real tough for me to especially in a high stakes format where the receivers always get pounded early.
Although, if it's FFPC, you can just start two wide receivers. I could see you doing something along those lines, but you really have to.
And you could start four running backs.
At that point, I would be looking at the Gronk and then going with some tight ends and running backs and just mixing that up and then trying to get some value wide receivers in the middle rounds.
There are a few of them.
It's a little tough to win a national championship with middling wideouts. You're going to have to really hit on one of those guys. Or at least one that ends up being like a top 12, top 4, 15 guy.
A Stephon Diggs over the entire course of the season rather than just three games or whatever he did last year.
Like an Allen Robinson. I mean, when was he last year?
Well, I mean, he was but not first round like he's going this year. But, yeah, I mean, he was still like third, fourth round last year. James, let's talk about another guy that crushed it last season, Delanie Walker. He was actually targeted on 27% of all the Tennessee Titans passes last year. That was the largest share for any tight end in the NFL. Knowing that, would you be willing to take him in the fourth round of an FFPC draft in 2016, right around where he is going in those drafts right now?
I would not consider in the fourth round. Some of the drafts early, obviously, I've done. He's gone in the fifth round, some even in the sixth. I think if you draft historically, a player who has year – leading statistics of his career for 94 receptions, 1,088 yards, only one game of 100 yards plus with six touchdowns. When you compare him to what some might consider to be an older tight end, Jason Witten, in Jason Witten's careers, he's had four plus 90 plus reception years, four 1,000 plus receiving years, five, six plus TDs, and he is available in the 8th to 10th round. So when you break down mathematically, you may be separating 5 points per game over a 16-game season, plus the odds of him replicating a 94 reception, 1,088 year with the addition of DeMarco Murray and Henry is, might not be a very good estimation, particularly with Darrell Green Beckham coming in strong.
Yeah, and I think you make a good point with the supporting cast that Tennessee's brought on. You know, they want to use the, again, quote-unquote exotic smash-mouth offense. A lot of DeMarco Murray, a lot of Derrick Henry, Dorial Green-Beckham expect to take a step forward. And don't forget about Tajae Sharpe, the guy who's actually running ahead of DGB right now in training camp, also performing very well. They still have Kendall Wright there. They brought in Rishard Matthews as a free agent. There's a lot of people that are catching the football in Tennessee now that maybe necessarily did not have that same role they did last year. Dave, go ahead. Something's on your mind here.
What the hell is an exotic smash?
I don't know. And that's why.
James, you know what the hell that is?
What's exotic smash mouth in your mind?
Exactly. I don't have a comment either.
I
don't know. Pitch it to the right, pitch it to the left. Who the hell knows what that means? There's nothing exotic about running the ball all the time.
Yeah, and I think another thing that you need to remember is beware the career year. Delanie Walker had a career year last year. And, Dave, you've talked about this about tight ends on this show quite a bit. Don't draft based on the ceiling that he had last year. You know, if you do that, there's no value in drafting him that high. And he has to hit those numbers to make sure that was not a busted pick for you. You're much better off drafting a guy, like James is saying, fifth, sixth round, he's seen him go, and he might not even take him there. So I think that speaks to the level of what people are sort of expecting Delanie Walker to do this year in a similar offense, but with vastly different roles for his teammates on that offense.
James? Let's talk about your 500 Dynasty number 9 team in the rookie draft. But it wasn't a rookie draft, was it? It was a free agent draft.
Rookie free agent draft.
Semantics. You took Jonathan – I like two of these picks particularly. Jonathan Stewart, who that's one thing I really like. I'm amazed he was out there. Jared Cook, LeGarrette Blount, Brandon LaFell, and then Bruce Ellington from the 49ers, which I profess to getting on board with him.
After a show.
Yeah, after a show maybe a month ago or whatever. I read some article on him. So talk to me a little bit about all those, you know, your overall thoughts on those guys, and talk a little bit about Ellington as well on that draft.
Well, I've taken a little heat with the elders in my team, particularly from Dynasty Smurf 4. You're welcome for the shout out there, guy. I tend to like seasoned players. I think they have a little more knowledge of the game, the speed of the game. You know, they could be older, and of course I have Jason Witten and some others on my lineup. But when you're in a situation to where you're have already traded your first round draft pick, which I traded for Emmanuel Sanders last year, gave up my first round draft pick. I think that's high value there. You know, I'm the ninth pick in the second round, which is the 21st pick. You know, there's not a lot of upper tier rookies there, and unfortunately, in the 2 years I've made the playoffs, I've not had bad seasons. But I think Brandon LaFell takes a significant upgrade moving to Cincinnati. Going to take a lot of one-on-one coverage away from A.J. Green. My good friend and my best fantasy football confidant, Daniel Green, here in town, likes Jared Cook, which I love, in a prolific offense. It's hard when you switch, but I think he's going to want to play to his extreme, which is great. The absence of D'Angelo Williams for Jonathan Stewart certainly boded well for him last year. So I wasn't in the early rounds where I could have taken some of those esteemed receivers or Ezekiel Elliott, but I like the seasoned players there.
Yeah, you make the good point about Brandon LaFell and that Cincinnati offense. He's going to have a really good opportunity to take advantage not only of the missing Muhammad Sanu, the missing Marvin Jones, but Tyler Eifert, who may not be ready for week one of the season. There's a role that LaFell can carve out when your main competition is a rookie receiver that's been kind of polarizing in fantasy circles. I think that LaFell makes a lot of sense, especially if you can hang on to the football. I mean, the guy that's been the biggest bugaboo with him over his entire career is he just drops it too many times. He puts himself in a position to make plays, and, you know, 1 year he did with New England. He had that really fantastic year, and he's just, you know, before then and since then struggled. He's going to have a golden opportunity here with the Cincinnati Bengals this year. We're talking with James Harper. He's playing in the Pros versus Joes next month here in the FFPC. FFPC Dynasty Owner Main Event Football Guys player. Leonte Carew, let's talk about him. He was in the news this week when he talked about wanting to drop from 217 pounds to 210 pounds to get to his playing weight this season. Leonte Carew, James, is a Dynasty player. You know this was one of the more talked about receivers that a lot of people had really strong feelings about, given that his measurables were very, very good, and maybe the biggest question mark with him was off-the-field stuff. You look at Leonte Carew this year, Miami traded up to get him. Does he have any kind of wide receiver handcuff value if you own Devontae Parker or if you draft Jarvis Landry? If one of those guys goes down, can Carew step in and be a difference maker?
I think it's possible, but again, it's high risk, low reward. You know, if you've got Devontae Parker and Landry and they're healthy and produced to their caliber, then having a roster spot for a potential fill-in might not suit your lineup best. So, you know, I throw in considerations for people in the offseason talking about losing weight, and prime example of that is Eddie Lacy. You can talk about that all you want, but when you just fail to exceed and meet the standards of which is required of you every year, it becomes old talk. So I try not to put much weight, no pun intended, in that at all.
You know, it's interesting you bring that up because Dave has had a weight limit he'd like to see me at to do this show, and this is 4 years in a row that I have failed to hit that baseline. I don't know if it's just the case that he can't find anybody better. You know, in the same way the Packers really didn't do anything in the draft or in free agency, they're going to stand by Eddie Lacy. Dave's standing by me on this show, despite my bulging waistline bumping into the microphone numerous times on this show. So I want to thank you for that, Dave. But I totally get what you're saying, James. It's one thing to say it and another thing to do it. Got to get more of the doing. Right, Dave?
That's right, Balky. Just keep working on those fitness stuff, buddy.
Hey, I'm trying, man. That's all any of us can do. I feel like one of these years, it's just going to click for me, and then I'll be the first round podcast pick the following year and let everybody down.
Just cut your carbs a little bit if you really want.
All right. Anyway, so James, you've done a few FFPC satellites this year. What have been your takeaways as far as how the drafts are going? Give us a little bit of tips, hints, anything our players can take from your experiences.
Well, again, as we'd mentioned, I think the concept of heavy running backs is past us. Wide receivers are dominating in PPR formats, and when you have players even like Steve Smith, who last year somebody could have taken forever, scoring 30 and 40 points a week, that overshadows this concept of running back by committee. The way I see it, there is at best maybe five legitimate, lead back players in the league, and the concept of their ability to every week have 100-yard rushing and two touchdowns just simply can't compete with the ability of these wide receivers to score points. So I have made a significant transition, depending on my draft position, to look at wide receivers. And quite frankly, the depth in this year with a lot of the free agency acquisitions has just made a significant difference. And I think you're going to see this year tight ends are going to follow a role of a higher frequency of even running backs and likely a second, third, and fourth round like Delaney Walker.
Great stuff so far from James Harper here on the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour. James is the player back-to-back years. He's been in the Pros vs. Joes. He'll be competing again this year in it. Also competing in the main event, trying to win more cash in the Football Guys Players Championship, and also running a dynasty team as well in the FFPC. We're up against the break, but coming up after the break, we're going to talk to James about a rookie running back that has the opportunity to carve out a massive role with his new team.
Ooh.
Yeah, we're not going to say who it is, but we'll talk
don't
about
leave.
It. Right on. Yeah, don't leave anyway. Don't leave.
Be back in 7 seconds.
Yeah. You're listening to the HSFF Hour, Eric Waltman and Dave Gerzak with James Harper coming up after this. What rookie running back were we talking about before the break, Dave?
I don't know. It's been so long, Balky. Yeah. I've been rifling through all the possibilities.
Didn't even remember it was a rookie running back. Thought it was a veteran receiver.
No, I started reading an article online.
We're talking with James Harper. He's playing in the FFPC Pros versus Joes. He's tonight's guest. In July, he will be drafting. James, let's talk about that running back. DeAndre Washington, he's starting to get a lot of hype as the backup running back in Oakland. With him going in the 11th and 12th round in Football Guys Players Championship drafts right now, does he represent a player that you're trying to acquire at that price? I mean, is that a spot that you'd be comfortable taking him?
I think absolutely so. Moreover, if your concept is wide receiver heavy, followed by tight end, and throwing in a quarterback, obviously, before that round, you're looking for that late round pick that will help kind of support you through the season. That is certainly one worth stashing with the inadequacies that they've just failed to prove with their running back situation. So I think he'd be a great addition to help fill that running back void that you passed on in the first, 7-8 rounds.
Well, I'm going to do a live look-in. See DeAndre Washington. Tonight's Football Guys draft, 12:01.
All right, so there you go.
Wait, 12:12.
12:12. Okay, so that's really good value. Dave, we talked about, obviously, Farrell Elliott, who's coming up in a little bit on the show. He's a big Raiders guy. We actually talked about DeAndre Washington with Farrell a couple weeks ago. We didn't get your opinion on Washington. Oakland, obviously, with Del Rio saying that they wanted to bring in more running backs, more a guy who could take more off Latavius Murray's plate. It's not like he set the world on fire last year, even though he did have a very good season. It was more of an accumulation. It was more of an a result of accumulation rather than making insanely athletic and special plays. Your thoughts on DeAndre Washington this year in the 12th round? Me personally, I think you could do a lot worse with an 11th or 12th round pick than Washington.
Yeah, and it's interesting because Murray was a super athletic guy who was a 7th round pick, I believe.
He was late. I don't remember.
Late.
Yeah.
And didn't amount to much really, but then, he was injured and he came on and he's been fine. But it never seems like they've been really super excited about him. With Washington, he's still a 5th round pick. So, I mean, it's tough for me also to get excited about him. Plus, most importantly of all, everything I would say, I didn't get him in a single dynasty league, so I hate him.
Well, I don't know if you hate him. But
I hate the fact that I didn't get him, so I don't. I'm in,
Were you trying to get him?
Actually, you know what? I kind of was. I was looking to get him, but he was going. People were onto him. And they were, I think they were reading those tea leaves, and I think they were taking him just a little bit earlier than either. I just didn't have the pick in kind of that area. But, yeah, I mean, he's worth looking at for sure. I mean, in that spot, I mean, he's about as good of a shot as you're going to take in that 10th, 11th round. He starts going in the 7th, 8th, 9th. He gets a little earlier because then you have other guys who are guaranteed playing time and who are already slowing time.
We're going to talk about some more 8th round picks coming up later on in the show. Did you have a question for James about the pros versus Joes as long as we've been hammering that home?
Let me take a look. Hey, James, next year you're going to be in the second.
Next month. Maybe next year, too. We don't know.
Whatever. Sorry, this is all fixed. So next year you'll be back in it again. Be a third straight. Last year you struggled in this contest. I'm sure it was bad luck. Tell us what didn't go right for you in 2015 and the approach you're taking in this year's special Pros versus Joes competition.
Well, again, as we've alluded to, I went running back heavy. Adrian Peterson in the first round, LeSean McCoy in the second. Obviously, AP is AP and did pretty well. But Andre Ellington in the fourth, Trey Mason in the tenth. You know, that was something that I would have been better served with wide receivers, with Odell Beckham and Dez Bryant, even though he had the injury with Demaryius Thomas. Julio Jones clearly might have been an overall top five pick after his production, so I kind of missed the mark there. Drew Brees in the fifth, you know, that might have been a stretch, clearly with being outplayed by a lot of later, maybe 12th round picks with Carson Palmer. Phillip Rivers, obviously, in the 12th round, but I followed with what I felt like might be solid wide receivers. But Brandon Cooks has just let me down 2 years in a row. You'd think with that speed, he would have eluded a little better, but I certainly went New Orleans heavy there, and that did not pay off. But I'll promise you, this year will be a learning experience from last and hopefully a better outcome.
Yeah, you know, the thing I should bring up, too, with James, the champion, the overall champion last year in the Pros vs. Joes was Roto Experts Jake Seeley, and he actually drafted in James's draft. James had the, I believe, James, did you have the second overall pick last year?
That's correct, and he had the 7th. Yeah. And although he went running back heavy and way early quarterback, he still produced with DeAndre Hopkins in the 4th, which served very well for him.
Yeah, that was a major get for him. And this is 2 years in a row now that not only have this is the first 2 years the pros have actually won it, in 2014 and 2015. And not only were they both pros that won it, they're both pros from Roto Experts. So clearly those guys know what they're talking about there.
That's so sick. That's crazy. I didn't even really realize.
Yeah, you have to not only dethrone the pros this year, you have to dethrone the Roto Experts because apparently they're the real pros.
Did Jake Seeley take more than one tight end or just the one?
No, he took more than one. You know, it's funny. Tim McCullough took like 5 tight ends last year and he didn't win it. The year before, he takes one and he wins the whole thing.
Dumbass.
Remember Jake Seeley, too, was the guy that went C.J. Anderson in the first and Forsythe in the second. And then still ended up winning the overall.
Nice.
So, yeah. But, I mean, like James said, I mean, obviously Hopkins in the fourth was a massive get.
I don't know, Jacob. Does he run
he usually calls in during his draft.
I have this memory of Jake that I like.
Yeah. And for whatever reason, whenever I'm on the Fantasy Alarm, they'll have these roundtable segments. And for whatever reason, it's usually me, Jake Seeley, and Bob Harris.
Yeah.
So, which is weird, but whatever. That's fine. I like Jake. He's a good guy.
He's a great champion. Kind of a cool last name, too.
Very cool, yes. Not as cool as these emails that
like,
we have for
like
James.
Like the mattress.
Yes, not spelled the same way. James, a couple of emails that I want to get to here. First one is from Dwight in Arrow, Maine. It's a Hopkins question. Who's the receiver not named DeAndre Hopkins to own in Houston this season? Thanks. That's Dwight in Arrow, Maine. Thank you for the email, Dwight. James, there's a lot of receivers competing for catches in Houston this year. Besides Hopkins, you have the rookie Will Fuller. You had last year's rookie Jalen Strong. You have Cecil Shorts down there as well. Let's make this a two-part question. Who's the second receiver in Houston that will be the best fantasy guy? And how much fantasy value is there for that number two wide receiver option in Houston this year?
Well, to go back to Brandon LaFell, you look at an obvious opposite of someone who's going to draw double coverage. DeAndre Hopkins is going to get all the looks, and even with the addition of Lamar Miller, he's no Arian Foster. So when you look at their depth, you know, Will Fuller is listed as number two. Cecil Shorts is listed as the second number two and wide receiver three. So if he can play in the X slot and you get Lamar Miller rolling with the running game, get DeAndre Hopkins deep, then I think Will Fuller or Cecil Shorts are the clear runnings. But you got Braxton Miller in the mix who, you know, nobody knows really what his expertise is going to be. So I think he'll be in the mix. But I like Cecil Shorts. I would say Will Fuller would be the close second.
Yeah, it's going to be a competition that I think will follow closely when training camps begin.
What was the question again?
The number two receiver.
I was monitoring, helping the chat room.
Yeah,
aging fun over here.
That's fine. Leave that to Rob. But anyway,
who's the number two? Will
Fuller? Number two receiver in Houston.
Yeah, I got it.
Okay, who do you think? By the way, I should ask you that.
I think it's going to be Fuller because he's the first round draft pick.
So that's just. The battle's over. They're just going to –
I don't know. I think battle's over.
He's really going to have to suck to lose that.
I think for the majority of the games, I think it will be end up being Fuller.
Don't you think that there's something we said of Cecil Shorts being the veteran, that Fuller will have to take that job away from him?
Yes, that's what I'm insinuating.
And you think it's going to be earlier, sooner than later?
Whether it's in training camp or week 3, 4, 5, 6, whatever. But, yeah, I think most of the year Fuller ends up starting. He run a 4.5 40 or whatever? You know,
Will Fuller? I think they timed him at 3.3 from what I've read. Just it was insane.
It comes down to the GM going, you know, it's like Moneyball. The GM goes down there and he's like, put Fuller in there. I'm trading Shorts.
Yeah. Well, that wouldn't be as shocking as trading Carlos Peña, which is what they did.
And they're like, no one wants Shorts, man.
James, final email here for you. This is from Steve in Santa Rosa, California. How does your approach change when you're drafting a 28-round draft experts league as opposed to a 20-round league with weekly waivers? Thanks to the email, Steve in Santa Rosa, California. This is a question we've gotten for a lot of the high-stakes players over the years. And some people say, well, it doesn't change at all. Some people say, yeah, there's a big difference. James, how do you fall in on this when your strategy when you're drafting a 28-round DE versus a 20-round classic?
Well, it's very difficult. Obviously, the Pros Joe's is an optimized league and didn't work out well for me last year. But I think the strategy of which is a little different is if you don't at least get a good second-tier quarterback and eventually a third, then you know you're minimizing your opportunities to excel at that one position. With the depth of tight end this year, one could argue that if you've lost the first tier wide receivers and you're well into the running back by committee, you begin to start taking these 1.5 PPR tight ends who can optimize not only their position but also the two flex. You clearly with defenses and kickers have to just wait late, similar to what you do in the 20 round picks. But as you well know, some kickers might kick 5 long field goals in a game, and with the loss of the essentially the extra point, you need more than one just to optimize that that category. But you got to go late rounds with additional defenses, additional kickers. But don't wait on quarterbacks because you'll find yourself with a too big of a gap to get players who eventually have the opportunity to score significant points.
You know, Dave, when I'm commissioning these FFPC drafts, I always make a post regardless of whatever type of draft it is, classic, DE, whatever. I would say, remember, every owner must have at least one kicker and one defense at the end of the draft as part of the rules. And I say it in DEs, you know. And
all crap.
Yeah, they're like, yes, we know, because all the kickers and defenses and starting quarterbacks will be gone by the end of the draft. So I think that there's definitely something to be said for that with scooping up those kickers and defenses in the mid-draft. It's always so fun, too, in those DEs when I'm watching, like, there'll be a kicker run, and there'll be, like, you know, 3, 4 in a row, nobody cares. But when it gets to be, like, 6 or 7, like, all right, let's keep it going. Let's see how long we can keep the kicker run going. I saw one that was almost 2 full rounds of kickers.
Well, nothing's better than the Lou Tranquilli, you know, NFFC 14-team DE where he didn't get a defense.
At all?
He got no defense.
Oh, my God.
I think he had the third pick, and it was kind of coming around, you know, like the defense line was going. And there was probably, like, maybe 10 defenses or 12. Maybe there was, like, 13 defense. You know, he was just trying to get one defense, right?
Yeah.
So it came to him, you know, let's say it's, like, the 15-03 or something, or 16-03, I guess. to that round, and it was like he didn't take one, and he's like, well, I'll just get one at the 17-10. And then everyone realized that, hey, there was only like 14 or 12 left or whatever. They took them all. He got zero defense in that D, and then he was gone forever.
And he won the league.
It was, yeah, they were calling it.
No, I'm not kidding.
No, he did not. But they were, that was when he owned BFT Fantasy Football, and they were calling it BF No D for a while.
That's
I thought we had talked about this before.
No, I've never heard I never heard the BF No D.
BF No D Fantasy Football.
That's good. Yeah. That's good. Not as good as your next question for James, though.
Very good. So this is it. Is this the big question?
This is the big one. All right.
James, we need you to. This is very important. Give us a guy right now that you are really starting to like for 2016 and a player being drafted pretty high that you don't have want anything to do with.
Well, if I had to choose one, I think the overrated player that I would not want anything to do with, unfortunately, is Jamaal Charles. I just think he's proven he doesn't have the ability physically to maintain a 16-game season. He doesn't have the size. Certainly he has the quickness. He's got the pass-catching ability. But people who have reached early in draft to get him have paid the price in the past years. Players that I really like that I think are undervalued are again, to my topic of the extent of tight ends, I love Ladarius Green moving to Pittsburgh out of the shadows of Antonio Gates. Kobe Fleener to New Orleans, taking the old Jimmy Graham role, I think is going to have a lot of opportunities. And Devontae Parker in Miami, I think, is going to excel there now that he's healthy. So Jordan Reed is somebody I would not necessarily take. He's going as high as second round in some of these drafts I'm doing. But that might be a reach.
You know, James, I'm a man after my own heart, Dave. Devontae Parker, Kobe Fleener. This is makes me feel really good about how I feel about certain players. Ladarius Green, too, how I feel about certain players this season. James, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show. I know it was short notice tonight. We had a snafu with the scheduled guest tonight. I certainly appreciate you coming on short notice. And for educating all of us, you know, it's always a treat to speak to guys like you every single week, and gals. To speak with people like you every single week. I wish you best of luck in the Pros vs. Joes, your dynasty, your main, your football guys league this year. And when we cover your draft live, feel free to give us a call. We'd love to hear from you again and let us know how your draft is going.
Well, guys, I appreciate it. Thank you very much. I think the FFPC provides the best opportunity for entertainment and fantasy football, regardless of, again, the new edition of the Extra Flex and all the different types, and it's been a great pleasure, and I appreciate it and look forward to the season.
Thanks, James. We appreciate the kind words, and best of luck to you.
Yeah. You've got to use that as a public service announcement.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
Great.
Yeah, James, I just want to let you
we're
know.
Stealing that.
We're going to send you a waiver via email. you just need to sign off on that just to make sure we can publicly use that audio for all the kind of things you just said about the FFPC.
Well, I'll sign it in Vegas.
There we
perfect.
Go.
I love it. We will see you there, James. James Harper, ladies and gentlemen. He is going to be playing in the Pros vs. Joes coming up in July. FFPC Dynasty 500 number 9, I believe he is in. And main event, football guys, he does it all. Has a lot of fun. Doing a lot of sats, too. I think that's something I've seen with a lot of players this year is that they're getting in earlier on the football guys' drafts. They're getting in earlier on the sats, really. Kind of getting dialed in. People always ask me, well, what about ADP? ADP, you get this ADP? And I don't have ADP. I don't. Some websites, I don't know how they get it.
We keep it under wraps over here.
Well, you keep it under wraps good away from me because I haven't seen it. I mean, I just.
We don't feel like figuring it out.
And
figure out your own draft, man.
I have to go by kind of what I see. Here's the takeaway from ADP, Dave.
Go ahead.
It's changing all the time.
Yes.
It never is like it's never stagnant enough where you can actually use it to your advantage.
I'm gonna invent. You know, people like to have all this new crap all the time with zero RB theory, zero WR. I'm inventing a new term. I'm gonna premiere it here tonight. MDP.
MDP.
Median draft position.
Median draft position.
Median.
Median.
Yeah, the median draft position. Not the average. I don't want the average. I want the median.
Median.
Yeah. You can let. Wasp guy talk about the median a little bit. That's different.
Okay.
Not the same.
What about the mean draft position?
That's also an option.
Yeah.
We might have to check that out.
What's the other one? I feel like the
I'm going to see my daughter Ella down here. She took statistics
The bisection draft position, the BDP.
You know, I think it's interesting, actually. I'm going to give a little plug to Draft Sharks here. I think it's interesting.
By the way, thanks to Matt Schell for filling in last week. Did a great job on the show. A lot of good talent.
I'm sure he sucked. Anyway, so
he was fantastic.
He was nothing even close to as good as I. So
he's nothing close to you, I will say that.
Sure he was. Yeah. He probably had actually good information.
Give a shout-out to DF here.
So they, I like that they're doing the feeling and floor thing.
That is cool.
Yeah.
I think we talked about that on the show. I wanted to make a point to bring that up, but if you're a Draft Shark subscriber, you can actually check on their rankings and on the MVP. I think it's right on the MVP board. It has ceilings and floors listed for each player, which is a very cool thing that you really won't get anywhere else. So I really appreciate that they've added that this year.
And the other thing about median is it works really well for, like, skewed distributions. I mean, that's one thing in my analysis that I noticed.
I
read that in the chat room.
That is great stuff, and I would love to keep talking about it. Unfortunately, we have to go to a break here, Dave. Coming up right after the break, we're going to actually get to the Fantasy Flash. We got excited and we wanted to get to the interview with James. But we're going to do the Fantasy Flash coming up right after this. Don't go anywhere. High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour rolls on right after this. It's the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour. I'm Eric Balkman. He's the Dizzle, Dave Gerzak. There's a fly flying around in the studio right now. It's super annoying. Did you see that? It almost landed, almost ran in your face.
Really?
I was actually...
We have a moth problem in the studio. It's not a fly problem.
Maybe it was a moth. Completely unrelated. And you're going to say, I don't want to talk about this. Nobody wants to hear about it. I was looking in the mirror tonight. I'm convinced that I will not have any hair at the end of 2016. It is getting so bad. So bad.
Balky, you got to start moving to hats.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like if I move the hats too soon, that's really going to make the hair come out.
Okay, you just start wearing a fedora around all the time.
Yeah, that's such an upgrade. There's a lot of people that can pull off fedoras. I'm not one of them.
Or you can't do visors, though. I can wear visors, though, because I have all my hair. But, I mean, if you're leaving your hair on the top, visors don't
work. Well, you know, what I don't like is my hair grows really fast, still on the sides and the back, you know?
Yeah.
And so that I don't want people to see that. So here's what I'm thinking. Mm-hmm. Honest to God, give me your honest opinion.
All
right. I'm thinking about rocking the backwards Tupac bandana. Because then there's people, like, because that's how it would be had. And he had, you know, he had it tied in the front. You could see his ball, but you couldn't really see, like, on the sides and on the back of his head. I think I could do that. I can't do a fedora. But
you're going to go with a bandana. You're white, right? You're a white guy wearing a bandana.
All eyes on me.
Straight white guy wearing a bandana.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I think you should just cut it short like Bruce Willis or shave it, and then you'll be good.
I'm not prepared.
Why not? Just do it. You're
not prepared to do it.
Your head is kind of, like, normally shaped.
No, I have a big head.
Our buddy, the real Leroy... He cuts his hair really short, and he's not even losing
it. Yeah, well, he pulls it off. I can't. Thanks to Football Guys, Roto World, and Rob for tonight's rundown. Amir Abdullah, Dave, last year's ascendant. Averaged 4.7 yards per carry in the second half of last season. DetroitLions.com beat writer Tim Twentyman believes Abdullah is going to be given the opportunity to be the lead back in 2016. Now,
Twentyman.
Yes.
All right, go ahead.
Why are you making fun of his name? He has no control over that.
Twentyman is my name.
Now, Theo Riddick. Still probably going to threaten to catch 80 passes this year. You have
that's a little optimistic, my friend.
How many did he catch last year?
Who cares? It's this year.
He caught a ton last year. And I didn't say he's going to. I said he's going to threaten to. You still have Zach Zenner and Stevon Ridley.
I got to stop reading this chat room.
Being the between the tackle bangers. Abdullah going in the seventh round. I'm fully on board. And I think we may have talked about this before. I think that is a fantastic seventh round choice. No Calvin Johnson this year. They're going to have to rely on the running game more. I love Amir Abdullah in the seventh round, especially considering as a rookie, he was shooting up to the high four.
I got to agree with you. They're talking.
What is so funny? What are they talking about?
Cod pieces. I mean, I can't even get past it.
So Abdullah in the seventh, you're on board with that as well.
Yeah, that's fine. Whatever.
If you're going to own one Lions running back this year, is that the value you'd be looking for? Because Theo Riddick is actually going right around that same area.
Yeah, I'd probably like to Abdullah over Riddick. I mean, I know that he's the guy that people like because he did well last year. But Abdullah was drafted pretty early. He's talked about not adjusting well to his rookie season. That does actually happen for running backs occasionally. And he had really incredible, you know, lateral acceleration numbers and stuff like that. And you know, he was great in Nebraska. And we were really excited about him going into this season. This season when it was last season. So this season you're getting a big discount, and who cares? I mean, a seventh-round pick, if he busts, you can still win your league.
Let me ask you this, Dave.
Yes.
another running back that a lot of people were high on last year that flamed out, also going in the 7th, 8th round area.
Yes.
Football guys draft.
Okay.
Improved offensive line. Has injury issues behind him. He did have off-season microfracture surgery, but apparently he's been looking good since then.
All right.
Here's the main problem with him. He's a Wisconsin running back.
Uh-oh.
Melvin Gordon.
Oh, boy.
Who would you rather have this year, Amir Abdullah or Melvin Gordon, given that you'd be taking them roughly in the same area?
Oh, that's actually a pretty interesting question. I don't know. Probably Abdullah.
I would rather have Abdullah as well. Now, let me throw this at
you. I think the hate on Gordon has gone a little too far as well.
If you're drafting right now, honest to God, you could do this if you wanted.
Yes.
Take Gronk in the first.
Okay.
Go 5 straight receivers after that. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then you could technically – I would say there's probably a 65-70% chance that you could go Amir Abdullah and Melvin Gordon after that. You have Abdullah and Gordon as your starting running backs with Gronk at tight end and 5 receivers to choose from.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I really like that, man.
And then even, you know, 9th round, 10th round, still take a few more.
You definitely could. We have to talk about it.
I got to click a few links while you're reading.
I don't want to do an MVP. ESPN. ESPN.com's Mike Triplett says Brandon Coleman needs a strong training camp and preseason to make sure he just even makes the roster. Michael Thomas was the first-round pick, I believe, for the Saints this year, the wide receiver from Ohio State. A different beat writer for the Saints predicted that Coleman would actually hold off Thomas and be the number 3 option behind Brandon Cooks and Willie Snead. Michael Thomas has been playing very, very well in the mini camps there and gelled with Drew Brees. Coleman maybe doesn't make the team this year. What is your opinion on that Saints third wide receiver? Do you have any interest in Brandon Coleman right now? And Michael Thomas, what does he do for you from a redraft scenario, given Marcus Colston has left a pretty wide-open spot for Michael Thomas' skill set?
Coleman, I think, is garbage. I think he's just not going to be anything. Thomas is another player I'm really not that interested in redraft, unless it's insanely late in a DE. And, I mean, then you're hoping – I don't see him surpassing Willie Snead. Willie Snead played really well in the name of Cooks, and then is Thomas as the, you know, the third wide open to really amount to a whole lot. Even if he's doing well now in all these little preseason puff pieces, I don't like him this season.
You know who I really like?
I don't like him in general, frankly, but I don't like him in for redraft at all.
You know who I think could have a good season in New Orleans this year in that passing attack? I don't know if you know this, but Kobe Kleiner actually signed with the Saints in the offseason.
Well, you know what? For once, I'm going to give Kleiner, I'm going to give your little smiley face argument a little bit of credit. You're fine. Because you have Cooks getting a ton of targets.
James Harper likes Kobe Kleiner, too.
Harper's a smart fella. So yeah. Then you have that. You have Kleiner, and you have Snead. And then, Thomas is going to get the scraps. And then, you know, whoever, you know, the pass-catching back, whether it's going to be Ingram or some other dude. Spiller.
Yeah.
Spiller spilled milk. So that's fine. So, I mean, like, he's like the 5th or 6th option. He's a waste of pick.
We have an email for KFFSC Commissioner Darrell Elliott regarding the Saints running back attack. I don't want to know what you guys are looking at. I'm not paying attention in the chat room on purpose. This is some pretty sick stuff that I'm seeing on your machine right
Everyone's
now.
Everyone's fully clothed, Bucky.
We talked about Dorial Green
Beckham.
We talked about Dorial Green Beckham earlier. Titans Online says that DJV told them that he had a good offseason. Now, this good offseason means that he dropped down to the 2s behind rookie Tajay Sharp. DGV should be taking a step forward in his second year. He is a athletic freak. He has the number 2 overall pick last year, Marcus Mariota, throwing to him. Why is DGV running with the 2s? Why is Tajay Sharp passing him? To me, this is a message to stay away from him right now. And I'll tell you this. Maybe it's a production thing. Maybe it's a talent thing. I don't know. Maybe it's imbecilic coaching, and let's face it, it's not like Mike Mularkey has ever been a stranger to that description of his performance on the field. So I think that you have to look at the coaching as well there. I don't know what it is. All I know is all that is enough for me to make me stay away from DGB.
I'm of the opposite opinion. I think that is a bunch of Mularkey, truly,
okay.
Pun intended. And I think it's just, you know, these coaches who aren't that good, like Mularkey, this is their motivational stuff. I know that Sharp actually, using RotoViz, they have a high phenom score on Sharp. That's great. But I think Green Beckham, now is the time, if you can snatch him up for a little bit cheaper in Dynasty, go for it. I think Green Beckham, or get him cheaper in redraft, I think go for it.
Fill in the blank. Dorial Green Beckham for you is a top flank receiver this season.
I'm not super impressed.
I know.
40.
Ugh, okay. I was hoping we could make a wager here, but yeah, I mean, he could dump his way into that. But I would do it at.
Like I said to you before in prior episodes, I don't think Green Beckham truly breaks out this season because he has so much time. I think
yeah.
Third year is where he really breaks out.
Okay.
But that could mean he could have an 800-yard, 6-touchdown season.
Right.
That doesn't get me excited, but that means he's improving. And I don't think. I mean, Sharp, I don't think takes the job.
We're going to bring Farrell Elliott, the Kentucky Fantasy Football State Commissioner, on in just 1 minute. Last thing I want to talk about. The mock draft crusher on Twitter, Mike Clay, says that ESPN Bengals reporter Coley Harvey does not expect Tyler Eifert to be ready for week one. Eifert, not exactly the fastest heel in the world, Dave. Also not exactly.
Are you keeping Farrell on hold for all this crap?
Just for one more minute here.
All right.
Farrell's
much more understanding than Eifert.
Not the most exciting, or excuse me, exciting. Not a guy who stayed away from injuries in general.
No, he seeks them out.
You look at Eifert and where he's going right now in FPCs, would you take him in the sixth round of a tight end premium format, like the Plug Edge Players Championship?
You know, I might not, actually.
I don't think I would.
I might actually stay against him. Stay away from him.
And we're not going to get any better news because he's probably going to be missing week one. You're going to be drafting him blind this year.
All right.
I'm staying away.
Great. More Farrell. Let's go.
All right. Well, before we get to Farrell.
Oh, for Christ's sake.
We do have to take a break. We'll be right back after this. The Kentucky Fantasy Football State Kentucky Fantasy Football State Championship Commissioner, Farrell Elliott. Follow him on Twitter at KFFFC. He's coming on right after this. He's the unofficial third host of the show. You're not going to want to miss it. Stick around. The High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour is back, and we are proud to bring in one of our favorite guests, maybe the guest who's been on the show more than any other guest, and that is not an accident, by the way. He comes on, he crushes it every single week, or every other week, as what we've been doing. But you know him as talent agent to the NFL and the Stars. He also runs the Kentucky Fantasy Football State Championship, which you can check out at kffsc.com. Welcome back, Farrell Elliott. How are we doing tonight, buddy?
I couldn't be better with a lead-in and an introduction like that, and we got Mr. Gerzak with us as well, and you guys are tearing it up. That's a mighty fine analysis that you're giving. I hope everyone that's going to play in Kentucky is listening to that. They can be competitive in Kentucky, and they can win in Las Vegas listening to you guys talk about it.
Okay, Farrell, I appreciate that. And not only do I have a
phone. Let's all just pat each other on the ass all the rest of the show.
Yeah, well, we not only do we
slap each other's cod pieces like crazy.
Okay, enough of the cod pieces. We're talking no more about cod pieces.
Listen, that's just for the chat room, Balky. I'm just trying to have fun.
Farrell, not only do I have a flowery introduction for you, but since we're rolling out the email barrel with Farrell tonight, I thought it was apropos to have some musical production.
All right.
He never super, super loud.
He never called me. Whenever he played it, I would be nervous.
Really?
Yeah.
No, I kind of like the accordion. I think it's a
I love that. I'm picturing Ron Meyer in Lederhosen right now. That's what I have, it's great. All right.
Well, by the way, Ron, I'll tell you, listen, Farrell, I'm really sorry to hear that because that's the type of thing that can burn into your memory for good, and you'll never get rid of that.
Ron Meyer, actually, he was talking about on Facebook tonight about introducing a new special multi-level marketing association called Drunkway.
I'm already signed up, Dave. I've got 6 people signed under as well.
Are you second tier? Third tier?
Yeah,
I'm
right up there. I'm right up there. Contract yet.
Yeah, you have people come over to your house, like a pampered chef party, and you drink beer.
Farrell is in the bourbon pyramid.
Yeah, you'd be the bourbon. It's not a pyramid scheme. Look, Bobby.
No, that's just what they call it.
It's
not a pyramid scheme.
You're not allowed to use the word pyramid or scheme. God, you're ruining the whole concept of this business opportunity.
He's in the bourbon skyscraper.
This is a business opportunity. This is not a pyramid nor a scheme.
All right. Anyway, okay, let's get to some emails here.
Oh, go ahead.
Keeping Farrell up so late. Dear patron saint and the devil incarnate, I'm assuming I'm the devil incarnate, not Farrell. I just took Mark Ingram in an FFPC slow draft and am looking to make sure I get his handcuff. Who would you suggest I grab later on? Saints be praised. That's Paul in Atlanta, Georgia. Paul, who lives in apparently a Saints fan. It doesn't make any
Paul,
sense to
what
me.
Are
Farrell,
you...
who's the Saints handcuff this year?
What are you thinking of, Paul? Getting in business with the New Orleans Saints rushing attack is questionable to begin with, and then if you're going to insure such an endeavor with a handcuff, it reminds me of Leonardo DiCaprio handcuffed on the Titanic there, Paulie. I'm not impressed. Who would you choose amongst that group of Hightower, Spiller, my old pal Traveris Cadet, who ended up the year catching a lot of passes in the last three games, I think 14, 17 catches over the last three games. I don't think you can handcuff Ingram.
Yeah, I think you can. I think it might be a fool's errand. I think that you can spend a pick on a higher upside, more talented handcuff, and just hope that something good happens there. I'm not really excited to waste a pick on Hightower, and I certainly am not taking a pick on Spiller to back up Ingram. I don't know what the value is in getting Spiller if Ingram gets hurt. They're two completely different players. Even though
$4.5 million cap hit for CJ Spiller, dead money, $7 million, the contract already guaranteed this year. Spiller's on the roster. He sure has to do more than what he did last year.
Certainly. Totally agree.
Yep, I do agree with that.
Farrell, moving on. Hello, Balky, and fill in the blank, which I'm assuming because everybody thinks that you don't do the show anymore, Dave.
Hey, man, you know, I have a family to vacation with.
This is from Len in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. With people pounding the piss out of zero RB this season, am I better off adapting to a zero WR strategy instead? Farrell, I'll leave this one to you since Dave and I talked about it at the top of the show. We're not making a zero WR at all. What's your opinion on pounding running backs early, given that everybody seems to be getting receivers early this year?
Yeah, you know, I suppose the questioner thinks there's a great depth at the position, and there are some great receivers, but you can't separate them from those first 16 guys. So if you're going zero wide receiver, you're missing out on some of the elite ball players in the NFL that can catch 90 to 120 balls. So, no, that's a fool's idea to approach high-stakes fantasy football right there.
Yeah, we are all of one mind on that. For sure, my friend. Let's go to Max in Windsor, Connecticut. I'm looking for the 2016 version of Devontae Freeman. I keep coming back to Charles. He's a guy who is playing behind a guy who just got paid, has had prior injuries, and is coming off a massive season. I can consistently get Sims in the eighth round of FFPC 77. Am I making the right move in loading up on Chuck? Thanks, fellows. Thanks, Max in Windsor, Connecticut, for the email. Farrell, you know, you look at how Freeman took the job last year because Coleman was essentially the starter until he got hurt. I think it's kind of a different situation down there, but given how well Sims catches the ball in the backfield and given the type of playmaker that he is, he certainly could be a candidate for similar value from where you took Freeman last year. And then Freeman obviously being the beneficiary of the Coleman injury ends up crushing it. Sims could do the same this year. It's just going to take a Martin injury for him to do that.
That's exactly right. He's a standalone flex player from week to week. You can talk to a lot of people that will like some receivers. They'll say, that guy's my fourth or fifth receiver, and he's got a little upside. And that player may not catch what this running back will catch out of the backfield, 51 catches last year and maybe more. And you're looking at a situation where Martin – he doesn't have to miss an entire season. Maybe he misses two or three games. And if you plug this guy in and he plays and he can run the ball anywhere near in this offense what Martin can, you've made a great pick in that eighth or ninth round. I wonder if he'll stay in that eighth round. Don't you expect him to move up a little?
Well, the thing is, if Martin – no, I would envision that Martin does not get a lot of – playing time in the preseason. So unless he gets hurt, it's going to be difficult to bump him from where he's going in drafts, which is like, you know, third, fourth round, usually third. Unless Sims like makes some sort of like, you know, Amir Abdullah type 40-yard breakaway run, I think he might end up staying in that eighth round range. There's not a whole lot of reason to grab him earlier when, again, you're still relying on an injury for Sims to have that value that he would need to return in order to take him higher. But Martin injuries, yeah, Sims' value skyrocket.
It sure does, and you can make an argument for a third and eighth. You talk about a handcuff. This brings back the idea of a functional handcuff with a sometime plug-and-play flex player.
I agree with Farrell on this.
Okay, perfect. So we're all in line. We're talking, of course, Farrell Elliott, the Kentucky Football State Championship Commissioner. You can follow him on Twitter at kffsc.com. You can actually check out the website at kffsc.com. Don't follow him at kffsc.com on Twitter. Follow him on Twitter at kffsc. Farrell, we do have a couple more emails I want to get out before we talk about the Kentucky main event this year. Larry in Miami, Florida, would you use an eighth-round pick on Jimmy Graham in tight end premium format? Farrell, the Kentucky Fantasy Football State Championship, not a tight end premium format, but you play in the FFPC. Are we going to see Jimmy Graham on any of your rosters in the eighth round this year?
Probably not. It has a lot to do – well, it has everything to do with where the player's playing. You know, you've got a head coach here, and Coach Carroll, they reinvent the wheel every week. You know, some coaches say, this is my go-to guy. I'm going to count on Jimmy Graham throughout the season. That's not what happens here. You know, they draw up a new playbook every week. And the situation with Graham is you don't know. It's a big uncertainty from week to week what this team's going to do. And you don't know where you're going to be with Graham. There's safer tight ends out there. He sure does look great. And it makes sense on paper, but it doesn't make sense in reality the way this football team's run.
Final email we have tonight. Dave, I should ask, you were Googling Jimmy Graham there. I see. What's your opinion on him this year? Has it changed? And I'm going to have to ask you to stay away from any sort of Drew Brees love triangle storyline when you make this answer.
You know, it's tough for me to really fall for Jimmy Graham like some other town. I have to let him go.
Okay, well, fair enough. I apologize for – very sorry to hear about your breakup. Final email, Dan in Denver, Colorado. He writes, hello, Vaughn, DeMarcus, and Akib. Pretty sure DT has a big bounce-back season this year, but I'm worried I might be overrating him a bit. How many wide receivers would you guys take in front of him? That's Dan in Denver, Colorado. I know this is kind of a confusing one, but I do have a list in front of me here. At least I thought I did. Yes, I do. I'll just give my answer real quick. For receivers, I'd take in front of Demaryius Thomas this year, Antonio Brown, Julio Jones, Odell Beckham, DeAndre Hopkins, A.J. Green, Allen Robinson.
Keep going, Balky. Keep going.
Keenan Allen, yes. Jordy Nelson, probably. Mike Evans.
What the hell are you talking about?
I'm talking about how many receivers I take in front of Demaryius Thomas. I think it's probably like a dozen, right around there.
Well, that's wrong.
Really? How many is it for you? Is he an early second round?
You're looking at a list. I don't have a list.
Here's the list right here. Here's Demaryius Thomas on this list.
Okay. Let me see here, Balky.
He's number 15 there, but I don't necessarily agree with the list. So.
Probably like seven or eight.
That's it, really?
Sure.
So, Farrell, how many is it?
That surprises me, Dave. I'm stretching that list out to 16 guys, maybe even. Here's what bothers me about what you're coming forward with Demaryius Thomas. 6'3", 230 pounds. The other guy on the other side is about like Antonio Brown, 5'11", 180, 185 for Sanders. So you take a defensive coordinator, he's going to say, unless he thinks like Pete Carroll did in the Super Bowl, he's going to say, well, you know, I'm going to put my most physical corner on Demaryius Thomas. Emmanuel Sanders has a wonderful year in front of him while Demaryius Thomas is getting beat up. Player that's not going to move that ball around too much at quarterback. Sanchez is going to lock in on one guy. And I think it's going to be Sanders. So that's why I'm sliding Thomas down.
Would you take let me ask you this. Would you take Demaryius Thomas, or who would you rather have this year, Demaryius Thomas or Sammy Watkins? We may not see deep into the preseason.
Oh, Lord. Well, I'd rather have Demaryius Thomas.
Okay. All right. He's kind of a polarizing guy, Watkins. Not only will Sammy Watkins not be playing until deep into the preseason, Dave, we're already deep into the drafting season. We are less than 60 days away from the kickoff of the Kentucky Fantasy Football State Championship.
Wow. I am excited.
Of course, August 21st, the KFFSC will be at the Horseshoe Casino in Cincinnati. That's on August 21st. And then the following weekend, August 26th through 28th, is the big extravaganza at the Horseshoe Casino in the Louisville area. We will be at that again this year. Very excited about it. And, Farrell, less than 2 months away. Very exciting time.
Foggy, thanks for reminding me. I got to get to work tomorrow, don't I? This is, yeah. guys call me. New players are calling in, and I think the outreach of this show is responsible for that. I appreciate you guys having me on. They say we hear that Eric Baltman talking about what a great time he has, you know, so that goes a long way. But, yeah, we're getting ready for it. We've got some surprises for you. We've got an expanded schedule a little bit because I noticed, guys, last year, you know, you want to get to that casino a little. You want to be able to chill a little later in the morning. So we've moved some graphs around, some starting times, moved them later. And it just gives me more leagues to sign Mr. Gerzak up for. So that makes it cool, too. So all in all, I think it could be our best year yet as we celebrate our 2015 champion, James Adams, who won it from drafting in Cincinnati. And they've actually renamed that casino there now, Balky. They're calling it Jack's, apparently after Jack Binion. So the brand continues to change, but it's in the same place.
And, you know, talking about change, not only did the FFPC add main event times this year for its contest, but the KFFSC has more main event times as well. Tell us a little bit about the expanded times as well as what people are paying for an entry and what they're competing for.
I look at you with that young one at home and Dave with his two daughters. You know, some guys can't get away like an old bachelor like I do and stay away for a long time. And, you know, but whoever comes, whenever you draft, you're going to compete for $7,500, a grand prize. The top five finishers get a paid entry to the following year's FFPC, which I think is the best thing about our league and what you can win. It gives you a chance to sit down in Las Vegas. We've got some guys this year that are coming. James Adams, our champion, Mike Mattingly, guys that have been trying to win that prize for years and now have. In addition to that, we're expanding. Our league has finally grown enough where we can pay the first 10 finishers some additional funds, and we'll be announcing that this week, so we'll have a little bigger prize pool for our overall main event championship. And, it just gets bigger and better every year, and the thing we love about it is the fact that you reconnect with a lot of old friends that you maybe see in Vegas that you maybe don't, but it's a great opportunity to get the fantasy football year started and kick it off in Kentucky as we prepare for the real high-stakes homes of fantasy football at the FFPC.
I think this is something I bring up every time we talk about the KFFSC and the KFFSC. This is something that James Harper talked about earlier in the show about the FFPC. It's awesome to win money and compete for these prizes, but the entertainment value and hanging out with people you get to see once or twice a year, and then drafting fantasy teams and hanging out with them, dinner and drinks with them later on, and just enjoying the company. I know it sounds cheesy, and it kind of is, but it is a great time that we have in Louisville every single year, and I always look forward to it. It is, even if you're nervous about, being steamrolled by the Kentucky veterans, you won't be. I mean, there's going to be
no need to be nervous.
Yeah, everybody's on the competition. There is. It's fierce, but I don't know of any, like, new player that's come in that, like, you know, wasn't competing right up until the end at a minimum. It's tough not to. You got to have a lot of injuries. A lot of bad stuff has to happen. That usually doesn't have to happen. And a lot of good stuff happens at that casino every single year.
Well, I remember when Jason Kahn, we were playing blackjack and his pants were falling down.
Yes.
Wearing a cod piece. I mean, it was crazy.
Gosh, like the cod piece.
The boss, you know, came over and was like, "Look, we can't see that, man. Look, man, you got to pull that up." And they're like, "What is it? Because I'm black?" He burned the race thing right away. I'm like, he's only half black. You know, leave him alone. So then they're like, "All right, fine." So it was cool. It's a great time there. What do you think, Farrell? What do you think about that?
You know, I think Jason, if I'm going to into any situation with anyone that I want to have my back, it's Jason Kahn. You know, Jason Kahn's going to be able to get himself into and out of any situation, and you're going to be a better man for hanging around with him.
Jason Kahn, former guest of the show. And Farrell, I want to thank you for coming on again tonight, helping us answer some of these emails from listeners, telling us more about the Kentucky Fantasy Football State Championship. For more information, people can go to KFFSC.com. They can also follow you on Twitter at KFFSC. Give us that phone number where people can reach you if they have any questions that they want to talk over the phone with you.
And, Balky, we're staying up late tonight. We're headed to a concert. So 502-523-5057. It's going to take me a while to get there, so ring the phone. I'll be glad to talk to you about joining the KFFSC in 2016 and taking a run at the championship.
I love it, Farrell. I'll be glad to talk to you in a couple weeks again. We'll talk more Kentucky. Thanks for coming on tonight.
You're welcome, fellas. It's always my pleasure.
Thanks, buddy.
Darrell Elliott, the commissioner of the Kentucky Fantasy Football State Championship, a great commissioner, great fantasy player, even better guy. Check it out at kffsc.com. Check out all the stuff that we got going on at myffpc.com as well, because we actually have to sign off. That's the end of our show. We have Sats going on, Dynasty. Check out the Superflex League, all at myffpc.com. Remember, 6 days left for that Football Guys Players Championship early bird. I want to thank James Harper. I want to thank Darrell Elliott. Thanks to the FFPC, Rob Rice, and, of course, you guys for listening. We'll be back next Friday at 10, 9 Central. No Dave, but FFPC 500 Dynasty number 21 champ Jeff Seeley will be on the show next week.
Damn it.
Jeff Seeley and I will get those FFPCs squared away.
This has been another episode of the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour presented by MyFFPC.com that was broadcast live and heard around the world. Eric and Dave will be back next week with more analysis, interviews, and advice from a guest much smarter than they are. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk with you again next week.
I'm only saying this because he's still in the chat room. Congrats to Henry Voodoo and his Cleveland Cavalier Championship squad.
Screw you, Mudo.
I'm a big Cavs fan.
I'm just kidding.
That's
whatever.
Great. Congrats. Go Cavs. Repeat.
Repeat.